Good morning.
Good morning
to each and every one of you. What a joy to be able to sing these beautiful songs of praise unto our great God, unto Jesus. That's why we're here, as it was said already in some of the comments. It's only because of Jesus. Jesus, I need you. Every single day, every single hour, every single minute. And so we read in the book of Ephesians in chapter 1, verse 3, that blessed be the Father and God of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. What a joy! What happiness, what peace, what riches that we have been given through God in Christ and in His Spirit. When we look at the book of Revelation, Revelation is, of course, a book that is in some ways quite hard to understand. There are parts in this book that still boggles your mind, at least mine, when having read it 5 times, 10 times, 15 times. You look at some of the things that are being said about those things, and sometimes you're still like, it's hard, it's difficult. There are things that are so deep. There are things that are so hard to understand in this book. But some things are very easy to understand in this book. And that's one of the things that we want to look at today. We want to look at chapter 4 of Revelation. Now, chapter 4, as it says, after these things I looked and behold. When you look at the book of Revelation, you see in chapter 1 that John has a vision about the Christ. Then in chapter 2 and chapter 3, he has a message for the churches. And what was the message for the churches? The message for the churches was that there was a difficult time coming. Talks about prison, talks about persecution, talks about temptations, talks about difficulties. Then in chapter 4, we have the second vision in which John helps us to understand the grandeur of the one sitting on the throne. In chapter 5, we have the third vision about the Christ, who was able to open up the seals. Then in chapter 6, all the way through chapter 20-21, you see a battle between good and evil. And then in chapter 21-22, you see that there was only one that was in charge. There was only one that gave the Christians the victory. There was only one that gave the Christians the power to endure whatever was coming on their way. And so that brings us to chapter 4. You look at chapter 4 and it says, after these things I looked and behold, a door standing open in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was like a trumpet speaking to me, saying, come up here and I will show you things which must take place after this. Immediately I was in the spirit, and behold, a throne set in heaven and one sitting on a throne. Brothers and sisters, in the beginning of 2026, we have 12 months in front of us. I'm not sure what your situation exactly is. Some things I know, some things I don't know. It is likely that there are a lot of things that I do not know. But brothers and sisters, even from the perspective of 2026, I want to encourage you to know that there is only one on the throne. And when it talks about the one on the throne, it says he is like jasper and a sardius stone in appearance. And there was a rainbow around the throne in appearance like an emerald. A jasper. It says in Revelation chapter 21, verse 11, about the jasper, 21:11. Having the glory of God, her light was like a most precious stone, like jasper, like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. So it when it describes the glory of God, it says her light was like a most precious stone, like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. Some of you have been born in other countries. Some of you might have lived in other countries. And you have probably seen some things that are so difficult to describe. Sometimes when we make pictures on a holiday, we look at the picture and we say, it just doesn't touch the reality of what my eyes are seeing right now. We were on the island of Madeira in September, I believe, and you make pictures and you look at the picture and you say, it's not quite like it. And this is what happens when you look at the book of Revelation. God is spirit. God is not able to be described. And so what does John do? What does the Holy Spirit do? He uses those precious gems in order for us to get a glimpse of what he is seeing. So like a jasper, a most precious stone. It talks about the sardius. About the sardius, it is written, it is a fiery red color. And so here what we see is the glory and the majesty of our God. And again, think of that in terms of those chapters 2 and those chapters 3. 7 letters in which a lot of those churches are faced with persecution. We know what happened in the early church. We know what happened with the Roman emperors. They demanded the worship of all people. They demanded that people would go to the synagogues that were built. They demanded that people did this. They demanded that people did this. And of course, the Christians could not do that. The Christians could only have their allegiance to their God. They could not bow down to a human. It was impossible. And brothers and sisters, even today, we look around us, even in the Netherlands, it becomes all the more difficult to speak out what the Bible really says. It becomes more and more difficult under the concept of free speech. It becomes all the more difficult sometimes to live a true Christian life. And then yet, you might say, look at my life. There are things going on that are hard. There are things going on that are difficult. There are things going on that I simply do not understand. There are things going on that I would even say to God, why? I don't understand it. Brothers and sisters, there's a lot of things about Revelation that are quite hard to understand. But some things are easy to understand. And one of them is that God sits on the throne. There is only one that sits on the throne. When I listen to the words of Psalms, and I refer to Psalms chapter 89, verse 14 and 15. Psalms 89, verse 14 and 15. It says, righteousness and justice are the foundation of your throne. Mercy and truth go before your face. Blessed are the people who know the joyful sound. They walk, O Lord, in the light of your countenance. Look at the throne of God. It is a throne that is described as the throne of righteousness and the throne of justice. It is described as the throne of mercy and the throne of truth. Isn't that wonderful? Yes. To go back to the most fundamental thing in life. There is a throne. It's a righteous throne and a justice throne, a mercy throne and a truth throne. And that is why verse 15 says, blessed are the people who know the joyful sound. That's the important question. Do you know the joyful sound? Do you know that sound that says, I will be with you wherever you go? Do you know the joyful sound that says, do not be afraid, I have overcome the world? Do you know the joyful sound that says, revenge is mine, I will repay. You just only do what is right to other people, even if they misuse you and they abuse you. Even if they confront you with you cannot speak what you want to say, etc., etc. It says, they walk, O Lord, in the light of your countenance. It all has to do with that one piece of information, the one sitting on the throne. And then things become quiet. In your heart, in my heart, when we know those things. Psalms chapter 97 is another beautiful psalm. It says, the Lord reigns. Let the earth rejoice, let the multitude of isles be glad. Clouds and darkness surround him, righteousness and justice are the foundation of his throne. A fire goes out before him and burn up his enemies around about. His lightnings light the world, the earth sees and trembles. The mountains melt like wax at the presence of the Lord. At the presence of the Lord of the whole earth, the heavens declare his righteousness and all his people see his glory. Beautiful. God says, you don't have to worry about it. You don't have to take revenge. You just live in the light. You just live by my countenance. All the people see his glory. A little boy asked his father, Daddy, how big is God? The father looked up in the sky and he saw an airplane. And the father said to the boy, how big is the airplane? And the boy said, well, I barely see it. It's not that big. The father took his son to the airport. Leiden, Amsterdam, Schiphol. And he took the boy around the airplanes. And he asked him the question again. How big is the airplane? It's huge. It's humongous. Wow, how big it is. And so the father said to the boy, God's size in your life depends on how close or how far you are from him. The closer you are to him, the bigger he will be in your life. Brothers and sisters, this is the truth. The book of James says, draw near to me, and I will draw near to you. Brothers and sisters, how big is your God? How big is your God? And that depends, again, on the question, how close are you to him? I love the church. I love the church's teaching. We talk a lot about scripture. We try to understand. We try to find the right answers. And that's a good thing. But brothers and sisters, do we also learn something about the greatness of God? Do we also know something about how big God is? Do we also know something about his greatness, his love, his kindness? And not in words necessarily only, but in your heart. How close are you to him? That's an important question. And the closer you are to him, the bigger he becomes. We continue in Revelation chapter 4. Revelation chapter 4. It talks about the four beasts. And it says about the four beasts. Before the throne, there was a sea of glass, verse 6, like crystal. And in the midst of the throne and around the throne were four living creatures, full of eyes in front and in back. The first living creature was like a lion, the second like a calf, the third like having the first living creature had a face like a man, and the fourth living creature was like a flying eagle. The four living creatures, each having six wings, were full of eyes around and within, and they do not rest day or night. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. Do you notice this? We just made the phrase, the closer you are to God, the greater God becomes. Those four living creatures are so close to God that the only thing that they can say and sing, and it says, and they do not rest. Do you see that? They do not rest day or night, singing, holy, holy, holy. The closer you are to God, the less, and I say that with a lot of respect, the lesser you speak about your circumstances, the less you speak about your challenges, the less you speak about the unknown. The only thing you can say, holy, holy, holy. And the word holy is a word that comes from the word sacred. It comes from the concept that morally blameless, ceremonially consecrated, pure, and of course, pure in the most perfect form. God is pure, sacred, holy. And that is what the four living beasts are saying day and night. Holy, holy, holy. You are pure. You are sacred. You are the best. You are the best that I need, the more. And that is why David, in Psalms 139, has these most famous words. Psalms chapter 139, It says in verse 23 and 24, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxieties, and see if there is any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." That's the cry. And again, please understand me correct. I'm not minimizing. But the closer you are to God, the more you want to be like Him. And you're even asking Him, "God, if there is anything that stands between you and me, make it known to me. I want to know it. I want to be searched. I want to be seen." It needs to be recognized what is in between us, because you are worthy. That's the key. That's the heart of what we are seeing here. Holy, holy, holy. It's beautiful. It says, "Lord." Words have meaning, right? The word "Lord" comes from the Greek word kurios, and it means supreme in authority. Isn't that wonderful? This world gives us challenges, right? This world gives us hardship. This world gives us trials. This world gives us sleepless nights. But we have a Father, whose throne exists of righteousness and justice, mercy and truth. Whatever God does, it's right. Whatever God allows, it is right. It might be sometimes a little bit hard for us to swallow, right? But what God does is right. What God does is good. He loves us. The Bible says that from the beginning to the very end. He loves us. He loves us. So kurios, supreme in authority. Then another word, God, is the word theos, which basically means deity. Then we have the word almighty, connects to the word Lord, but it means all ruling. That is, God is absolute and universal sovereign. He is almighty, He is omnipotent. And then it says, who was and who is to come. It's hard for us to understand, right? God has always been. The Bible doesn't explain it. The Bible says it. And we believe it, right? God was and is to come. There was a young boy traveling on an airplane to visit his grandparents, and he sat beside a man who happened to be a professor. The boy was reading a Sunday school take-home paper when the professor thought he would have some fun with the lad, and he said, "Young man, if you can tell me something God can do, I'll give you a big, shiny apple." The boy thought for a moment and said, "Mister, if you can tell me something God can do, I give you a whole barrel of apples." This is our God. This is our Father. The Bible in the New Testament talks about Father, Abba Father, intimate, knowing. Has anyone known my Father, my physical Father? I don't believe anybody has. But I can tell you a lot of things about my father. Why? Because he's my father. I know him. He raised me. And so it is with us. And again, I emphasize the fact that churches of Christ, they are known for knowing their scriptures. But I sometimes wonder, do we know enough about God that He is our Father? Do we know that intimacy? Do we know that relationship? Do we know all of that? And of course, the one is not more important than the other one. But if one is more emphasized than the other one, it means you will not have the peace that surpasses the understanding. Life is not only knowing the Word. Life is about knowing the Father and having intimacy, having intimate time with our Father, understanding Him, knowing Him as far as He has revealed Himself. Look at what happens next. The 24 elders, it says, they fall down before Him who sits on the throne and worship Him who lives forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, "You are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory, honor, and power, for You created all things, and by Your will they exist and they were created." And so, again, we see, you are worthy to receive glory and honor and power. How beautiful. But this is why it is so important to be close to God. This is so important because it helps us to understand. The Bible speaks about that phrase, and we love it. The peace that surpasses the understanding. Because that peace that surpasses the understanding can only come when we know our Father intimately. When we know our Father in a more deeper way, to the degree that He has revealed Himself. And then we will, like young children, walk around at Schiphol and say, "Wow, that plane is humongous. That plane is big. That plane can take me to the other side of the world. That plane is able to go wherever the plane wants to go." That is intimacy with God, our Father. I'm going to close with the words of a song. Who has held the oceans in His hands? Who has numbered every grain of sand? King and nations tremble at His voice. All creation rises to rejoice. Who has given counsel to the Lord? Who can question any of His words? Who can teach the one who knows all things? Who can fathom all His wondrous deeds? Who has felled the nail upon His hands, bearing all the guilt of sinful man? God eternal, humble to the grave, Jesus Savior, risen now to reign. Behold, our God is seated on the throne. Come, let us adore Him. Behold, our King, nothing can compare. Let us come down and adore Him. Let's put some things in order. Book of Revelation. Before John started to talk about the hardship and the difficulties that would come in the lives of those believers, And we have evidence. Flavius Josephus, he speaks about all the atrocities that happened to the early Christians. We have heard the stories about Christians in the Roman,
arena,
yes, that's the word that I was looking for. We've heard about Christians being put to death. We've heard about the Christians being slaughtered in these arena sports. But before all these things came, he made our brothers and sisters in the early church aware of one thing. There is one that is seated on the throne, and evil will not overcome. I will be the just and the justifier. I will be the one that will bring my revenge. Brothers and sisters, my wish for you and for myself is that in 2026 we will be able to grow more intimately with God. That we grow more passionately about our Father. That we will meditate upon it. The Bible says meditation. That is the story of the cow. The cow eats in the morning. And then in the afternoon, he lays down in the field and he starts to chew. That is what we need to do. Chewing on him, what we learn about him, what we can know about him, and chew on it even more, till the peace that surpasses the understanding comes into our heart in a more deeper way. That is what I wish for myself, for you, in 2026. More of him and less of self. Amen.
Yes.